There was once two women that came to a great scholar, a great sage. One of the women pointed to a boy and said, "This boy is my son-in-law." The other woman says, "Absolutely not true. I am this young man's mother-in-law." The scholar thought for a moment and ordered that they should give him a sword. And he said, "I'm going to do the following since I have no choice. There are no witnesses. I am going to take this sword and split this young man in half." And one woman, upon hearing this, said, "No, absolutely not. Don't lay a finger on this child. Don't harm him. Don't cause him to be cut." The other woman thought for a moment and said, "Sure, go right ahead. Cut him in half." The rabbi stroked his beard for a moment and finally said, "It is now clear to me. The one who said to split this boy in half, that is the true mother-in-law." In this week's Haftorah and Parshas Miketz, we find the very famous episode of Shlomo HaMelech, in which two women approached him, and each of them saying that this was their child. And on this, we read in the Haftorah, "V'yomer HaMelech gizru as hayeled hachai l'shnayim," to cut this child into two. "Usnu as hachatzi l'achas, as hachatzi l'echos," to give half of this child to one and half of the other. And we know the outcome of that famous, famous statement. What I'd like to discuss today is, why is this Haftorah recited specifically in this particular parsha, in Parshas Miketz? What does this have anything to do with the story of Yosef in Mitzrayim? And although some do interpret that the beginning of the Haftorah, we find the pasuk says, "Vayikatz Shlomo," that he arose from his slumber, that he was dreaming. We know that he was not the only dreamer. Like Yosef, Paro also was a dreamer. In the beginning of our parsha, he had a dream of seven cows devouring, swallowing up seven larger cows. And a second dream where seven ears of grain did the same, consuming seven ears of grain. Upon this very difficult and troublesome dream, Paro turned to his wise men, his interpreters. But unfortunately, the Torah tells us, "Ve'ein poser osom Paro," that none of them were able to give him an interpretation. Explains Rashi, not that they did not give some interpretation, but it was nothing that Paro truly appreciated. He didn't buy it. To them, he didn't feel that their words were correct. Says Rashi, "Posrim hayuosam." Certainly, interpretations they gave of a lola faro to Paro, he didn't feel that they were correct. "Shelo hayakohen nichnas ba'oznav." Their voices did not penetrate into his ears. "V'lohayelo kares ruach b'pisronam." He did not feel that the interpretations of this dream, these two dreams, were accurate. What exactly did they say? It says Rashi, "Shayu omrim sheva banos ata moilid, sheva banos ata koiver." You know the significance of having seven and then them being consumed, them being covered up and destroyed. It corresponds to your children, that you will have Paro's seven daughters. But unfortunately, Paro, they will all be buried. And when Paro heard this, he said, "This cannot be correct." But how did Paro know this? How was Paro so sure that they were wrong? If he wasn't positive, he had no idea what his dreams really meant, maybe in fact they were correct, that it was his seven daughters. Yosef, however, somehow brilliantly reveals this great, great answer. And he says, you know the significance of the Sheva Paro Satovos, the seven good cows correspond to the Shemashanim Hena, seven good years. However, when it comes to the unfortunate thin cows, that will refer to the Sheva Shnei Ra'av, the 7 years of famine. And the reason why they will be swallowed up is that a person will not be able to recount and recall those seven good years, because there will be nothing left in the seven bad years. And therefore, Yosef says, you should instead appoint someone so that those 7 years will not be squandered, but rather they should be placed in storage houses and silos so that there will be enough food in Mitzrayim as well as the rest of the world during these 7 years of famine. This was the brilliant answer of Yosef. So much so that Paro said, "Enavon v'chacham, there is no one as smart as he." Isn't that pretty obvious? Anyone. Of course, we know what it really means because we studied the Parsha. And every child knows what these seven cows represent. But how come not a single person could come up with this interpretation? That everyone was just completely baffled. That he could not figure out this had something to do with a famine, with agriculture. After all, one had to do directly of ears of grain that were being consumed and destroyed. Cows, which are also obviously a major sustenance for people. Why couldn't they come up with this answer as Yosef so easily did? I believe to answer these questions, we must look at the monologue of the Sar HaMashkim. The Sar HaMashkim said, you know, I know a great guy. A man who, unfortunately for him, is sitting in jail, although he is innocent. Vishami Tanu Nar Ivri. I know a young man, an Ivri, a Hebrew. Eved Lasar HaTabachim. He was a servant to the Sar HaTabachim. And he interpreted my dreams perfectly. And maybe, Paro, he'll interpret yours correctly as well. And when he tells about the interpretation, he doesn't only say that when it came to my interpretation, I was reinstated. He says, "Also Sola, someone else was hung." Why did he have to mention the other person, the unfortunate Sar HaOfim, that died? And I believe the answer is because the Sar HaMashkim is saying, this man, Yosef, he does not say things because he has a hidden agenda. He has nothing to lose, and he has no ulterior motives. This man was in jail, so he had no problem telling the Sar HaOfim that you are going to die. He calls the shots exactly as he sees it, without any sugarcoating whatsoever. And this is the reason why the Sar HaMashkim calls him a nar. Rashi says, what does it mean he's a nar? It doesn't just mean that he's an adolescent, a young man. Says Rashi, shota, he's crazy. Says Rashi, in royal gadola, he's not fit to great, to become great. Ivri, why does it say there's a Hebrew? Afilu l'shonenu enu makir. He doesn't even know how to speak our language. Eved, why is he called a slave? She'ain Eved Molech, because a slave can never become a king. The little lovish big they saw him or to wear such beautiful garments of royalty. He was not just trying to slam Yosef, saying he was a fool and a kid and a nobody and an idiot. But the significance of what the Sar HaMashkim is saying is that this man is authentic. He has no connection to this country whatsoever. And therefore, he will tell you the truth. Unfortunately for you, Paro, the hard truth. See, the other wise men, the interpreters, they had castles, land, money, much to lose. They did not want the interpretation of 7 years of famine. Because 7 years of famine would not just affect Paro, it would affect them too. So much easier would be the interpretation of Paro, bad news, your kids are going to die. But guess what? I still have my castle, I still have my land, I still have all my wealth. But Yosef, he didn't care. He didn't know the language, he had no ties, he had no reason to need to connect to royalty, because he was never going to reach that level, at least according to the interpretation of the Sar HaMashkim. And therefore, Paro, this is the man who will give you the correct answer to your dreams. But how did Paro know that Yosef was right? The Sifsei Chachomim brings the words of the Marshal and beautifully says that Paro realized himself. He was no big tzaddik. He did not deserve to have a direct connection to God. He was no prophet by any stretch of the imagination. And therefore Paro wondered, why would God tell me something that I can do absolutely nothing about? That I'll have 7 daughters and that they will be buried is tragic. But why would God need to tell me this? Apparently, the only reason why God would want to tell me information is so that I can do something about it. So that I can make a positive change so that it will not come about, this potential tragedy. As the expression goes, critics abound, builders are in short supply. Paro saw that Yosef was a man who had creative solutions. The others were easy to complain and say that things were difficult and had problems, but they were unable to offer solutions to their issues. This explains the very difficult question presented by the Ramban. Yosef was asked by the king to interpret the dream. So what is he doing, also tacking on giving advice? Oh, by the way, you should store this food so that you'll have for the next 7 years. Who is he to speak this way in front of the king? The king tells you something, asks you to speak, that is only the words you answer. You will not say a single word more than the king allows you. Explains the Ramban that Yosef understood the significance of the dreams. And the purpose of the dreams were not just so that he should know what will happen and that there's nothing he can do about it, but rather that he should be able to take action and to be able to be proactive to make significant change. Says the Ramban, the Einenu Eitza, this was not some piece of advice. Rak bepisron hachalom Omer Cain. This was all connected and part of the dream and its interpretation. That Paro, there will be 7 years of plenty. Don't waste them. Utilize them now so that in the years of famine, you will have food for yourself, your country, and the rest of the world. And therefore Paro looked at Yosef and said that Ein Navon v'chachom kamocha, that there is no one wiser than you, that a person who is able to look critically at a situation and be able to respond and to be able to do something to fix the future. There was another man known also for his wisdom. The man, as we mentioned, as we read in today's Haftorah, Shlomo HaMelech, a wise man just like Yosef, is able to figure out ways to create solutions to problems, not to create more problems to those potential solutions that people offer. This is the connection of Shlomo HaMelech and Yosef HaTzadik, two individuals that knew how to respond and knew how to build and to be able to fix the present for the future. We're now in the middle of Hanukkah. Hanukkah in which we experienced tremendous oppression, in which the Assyrian Greeks forbade the Jewish people from performing certain mitzvot, performing a Brit Milah, the observance of the Shabbos, and establishing a calendar based on the lunar schedule, the lunar calendar. The Maccabees saw what was happening. They saw Hellenism, Avodah Zarah, and idol worship abound. But they did not just sit back and complain and say, oh, there's nothing that I can do about it. Instead, they created a solution to the problem around them. They stood up, and for this, they were successful. This is the message of Hanukkah. This is the message of Shlomo HaMelech and also of Yosef HaTzadik. That in life, it's so easy to be part of the problem. But we need to be active and to become part of the solution, not part of the problem. Critics abound, but we must be builders, although builders are in short supply.